First of all, my inner critic is called the hag in the attic. And I've clients that'll borrow that and say hag in the attic. I have clients that call their inner critic bitchin' Betty, and I don't know what Betty has done to us, but that's what they, I mean, there's so many different names, but in order to tame the inner critic, you need to name and create a persona.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Women Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. You know, to live your life ecstatically, we need to express, we need to own the power of our voice. Your voice, my love, is so incredibly powerful and impactful to you. Your voice impacts you on a cellular, spiritual, emotional level. And of course, our voice has the power to impact so many others as well. And nobody knows this better than our wonderful guest here today, Kim B. Smith, who helps women to own and use their bold voice. She helps entrepreneurs and high-performing women to gain confidence in their speaking and in their presence. Kim, welcome, welcome, welcome to this space today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
What you do is so powerful and important. I have so much I have gone through to own my voice. So I just deeply honor you and your work and how you are impacting women very beautifully and specifically. Tell us a little bit, Kim, about your story, your process with owning and using your bold voice.
Well, I didn't always own and I did not, well, I did use my own voice, but it wasn't on my own voice terms. It was on other people's opinions. I call them OPOs, but my story goes way back to when I was younger. You know, everyone used to, my parents would open the front door when I was out in the front playing, organizing hopscotch and Mother May I's, and boy, did I just date myself with those hopscotch and Mother May I's, you know, it's, you know, but they would say, oh my gosh, you have such a big mouth. You are so bossy. And then on the other end of that was, you are to be seen and not heard. So I took that on as I got into high school and then early on in my young adult, where I was very successful in corporate, very successful. But I spoke up. And by the way, being the only woman at the table of all men, that they were coming hard and down on me, is I only spoke up only because I thought I had enough education to speak up, or I spoke up based upon what I thought that they wanted to hear, or I did not speak up. And I really went small and just would hide and hold things back. So that's been the short version of the story. But there's another piece. Gosh, about 13 years ago, there's a major street right here by my home. And it's 4-lane south all the way downtown Detroit, 4 lanes north, all the way out into the suburbs. And I fell asleep at a major intersection at a red light on a beautiful, sunny noon, August afternoon. And let me tell you something, I was not tired. At least I didn't think I was tired. Not did I only do it once, but I did it twice. And that was... And I was a little over a mile from my home on my way home. That was the largest, biggest, longest drive home and wake-up call I've ever had. Because it's what I was telling myself, my inner critic. It wasn't my true voice. It was what I was saying to myself, which took me into that. It was scary. Very frightening.
Wow. What do you mean it was what your inner critic was saying to you that took you into that? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. The voice that I was hearing at the time was, I was bored. I was living without passion. I was living without clarity. I was ungrateful. And I'm a morning person, and here's what I was doing back then every morning. I would wake up at 5 a.m., open up my eyes, and before I even got out of bed, I would say, I wonder what my schedule is like today that when I am done, so I can come back to bed. That's all I would say. I was talking myself back into bed. And I would do just that every single day. I would crawl back into bed until it was time to get up for dinner. And boy, it was a mountain that I was climbing. But it was a major aha moment when I realized those are the first words you're saying to yourself before you even get out of bed is, when can you come back to bed? And the first thing I did the next morning to change things up, I started reaching out to my trusted sources. But the next morning, I opened my eyes. Instead of saying, I wonder what my schedule's like today, I can come back to bed, I said, wow, look at that drywall above my head. Pretty amazing. We built that. It's white. It kept me warm. And it kept me safe.
Wow. I mean, here I was introducing the power of our voice has an impact on ourselves. And I mean, what better of a explanation, a story example, as you were literally just talking yourself back into bed, into sleep, right? That is truly incredible. You know, for me, I've had so much struggle with my own voice as well. I was always told that I couldn't carry a tune, that I wasn't a singer, you know, that I was tone deaf. And back in like 2008, I started like I had this huge frog in my throat. And my higher self was just like, open your mouth. All these sounds started coming out and I just was aghast. And immediately in self-criticism and self-judgment, thinking, well, I can't use my voice to heal. I'm not a singer. I can't hold a tune. All of the things I had heard all of my life came flooding back. And even though I was aware that it was my limiting belief and, you know, that I was placing that on myself, it still took me several years of working through that and continuously saying yes, continuously opening my mouth regardless, allowing the sounds to come out, allowing the process to get to a point where it's like, okay, this is what it is. And I love myself for it. That inner critic was huge, 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 huge in my space. Where do you think that inner critic comes from?
Well, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a researcher, but there are scientific research that it really comes back when we are younger. I believe that, you know, when we're all cute and going off to kindergarten, I believe it begins then. And it could be something a parent has said to you one time, or a teacher has said to you one time, or a friend, or you're watching a movie and you pick something up. But I believe it comes on to when we're that young. And we don't really start embracing it because, of course, kindergarten, what, 6 years old. But we start subconsciously bringing it into us that when we get a couple of years past that and start getting a little older, we buy into it. We believe into it. And it's like your words are, we take them on as limiting beliefs. So it limits us to our highest potential, our truest potential.
Yes. And then we start creating that. And then that reflection, you know, quote unquote, validates, right? We think, see, I can't sing. See, I have no voice. See, right? Whereas actually our subconscious mind is creating all of that, but we don't know that. Nobody teaches us this stuff.
And that needs to be taught way back when we go into kindergarten. You know, we need to start learning that stuff at a much younger age. And you're right. Our subconscious, our inner critic is going, see, I told you, cease to hear, see. You know, when it's like, no, I want to put my hands on my hips and say, see to her and like, let me show you.
Yeah, see to her. So What do you recommend that women do with their inner critic?
I have a lot of things up my sleeves. And one of the places I like to start with clients and of course, everyone listening, and I work specifically with women. So this is just not about women. Men go through this stuff too. So I don't want anyone else that's listening that is a man feeling like, oh, you know, left out or anything like that. And this is not just a female issue. We don't need to take even more of a burden on. But gratitude is amazing. One of my favorite things I have a lot of my clients do is at the end of the day when they crawl into bed, take three deep breaths before you close your eyes, and then go through 3 to 5 rock star amazing things that you did that day. And when you first start something like this, trust me, your inner critic, and by the way, I call her the hag in the attic, she's going to chime up and go, ha, 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 I got you good. Why are you doing this? But we have to keep doing this till that we eventually work our way, and I do have clients work their way into doing mirror work where they're having compassionate dialogues with themselves.
I love that mirror work, having compassionate dialogues. I can really feel the influence over the heart space with that tool. Now back to the gratitude, because I think this is such a great entry point for women. And I'm the same way. I'm always like, I work with women, but hey, man, not leaving you out or anything. Love ya. But this is a podcast for women, so we get to be directed at women. And I think this is such a great entry point. Do you recommend women say it inside? Do you recommend they say it out loud? Any recommendations of how they're speaking their gratitude, the sentence, the wording?
It depends upon the individual, but here are a couple of ways that you can do a gratitude practice. Grab a good old-fashioned notebook or a pretty journal and find a favorite marker or pen that you like to work with and just write things down that you're grateful for. It could be something that happened earlier today. Could be something that happened last week. Could be something that happened back when we were a child that we're grateful for. Other ways to do it is when you become stronger at that is, I'm big into the EFT tapping is, and I shortcut. I like to do some shortcuts because I'm that type of girl. It's like sometimes when we're in the moment, we need to get to the stuff is just taking your hand on your chest over your heart space and do some gentle tapping and then just simply go into a couple deep breaths and simply say, this is what I'm grateful for. Or I've had people write out on fun post-it notes what they're grateful for and put them on the mirror. We're women. We can spend some time in front of a mirror, blow drying our hair, putting on makeup, brushing our teeth, and put those out on a mirror. Those are a couple of ways that I have people do gratitude practice.
Oh, I love the mirror idea because then you're rereading them and kind of re-experiencing what you've owned through gratitude before. Yeah, that's really, really wonderful. Now, you gave the inner critic a name, which I really like because whenever I'm working with aspects of myself, I'm a very visual person. I have a lot of visions I see, and I will see her. Not that anybody needs to see, because we can give her a name, we can feel her, we can sense her, we can just simply know that she's there. But for me, it's very powerful. I see this version of me. And that gives me the capacity to love on her, right? To feel compassion towards her, to even have a conversation with her. What was the name you gave the inner critic? And do you practice something similar like this?
First of all, my inner critic is called the hag in the attic. And I have clients that'll borrow that and say hag in the attic. I have clients that call their inner critic bitchin' Betty, and I don't know what Betty has done to us, but that's what they, you know, I mean, there's so many different names, but in order to tame the inner critic, You need to name and create a persona and whatever that is like. In fact, it's a process I do take some clients through. If clients are really stuck and that inner critic is really choking them down, I'll take them through a persona process around, you know, what is she saying to you when you get dressed in the morning, when you walk into a meeting, when you look into the mirror, or when you're getting ready to stretch yourself, open up your voice, that vocal empowerment. What is that inner critic saying? And I'll write it all out. I'll draw, you know, whether it's a stick figure or whatever out. And then when they're all done, we pull together a story. So what do I mean by that is, so my inner critic at any given time, my hag in the attic, she's upstairs, of course, in the attic, and she's sitting on a rocking chair. And let me tell you, there's padding on that rocking chair because I've bought that rocking chair because if it's not padded, she's going to wreak havoc with me all day long. She comes downstairs. She wears pointy cat-like glasses, pointy glasses. They're really cool because I paid for those too. She's got earrings on, lipstick, took her to the mall, got the lipstick, the whole nine yards. She's a taskmaster. She's a perfectionist. She likes to remind me of all of that stuff. Here's the other thing she likes to do. She likes to smoke cigars, and she drinks very expensive vodka martinis that I pay for her and give to her. This is what she has done. This is what I've allowed my adult life. I still let her have that stuff because it seems to pacify her. But she also will back down my driveway in the cute little red sports car, and she will miss the street and drive over the lawn. And as she's doing that, she's looking at me, and she's flipping me off with the martini in the hand and the cigar in the other. So there's a process that we get silly and laugh and create a persona. It makes it easier when she's chiming up and getting really mouthy that we can approach her and have a dialogue. And the dialogue doesn't need to be, and I've heard women want to do that, kick her to the curb. Don't kick her to the curb because let me tell you what she's going to do. She's going to come back 20 times bigger on steroids. We need her as part of our team. She needs to be an ally because what she really is doing is protecting us and keeping us small because we've given her that job. We just need to realign the job description for her.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's very similar to like the facet of our ego, right? Similar context in the sense that it absolutely, or our fear, you know, or our limiting beliefs, any of these things that exist, we've given them permission. We've said, please, please, please keep me safe. And we still want them. I just love how you say have her on your team. And I really loved your description and your detail. I mean, I saw her. I was with her. I was in the sports car. I was drinking the martini. I was doing the whole thing with her. You know, it was such a beautiful description. And there's so much power in really clarifying that and having fun with it, right? I love how you brought in having fun with it. And it's always about inclusion from my perspective. Anytime yes. We reject, we push away, we kick to the curb, as you so wonderfully put, we're rejecting a part of ourself. You know, that is a part of us. And so the more we draw her in and, hey, sweetie, yes, 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 I love what you do. Love the glasses. Look, can you do this for me? Can we align it this way? Can you help me out in this manner? Then it's like reverse psychology on herself.
I know. Yes. And it works. It really, truly works. I mean, she just wants to be helpful. For an example, I live in the Detroit area, so the big three are here in my backyard. And several years ago, I was driving to Ford Motor Company to deliver a keynote for a leadership initiative that they were launching. And boy, have I got the sensations. And she's chiming up. And of course, she's in my car with me. And so I'm driving down the expressway, and she's in the front seat. Now I'm going to age myself again. And she's in the front seat, and she's like in that, when I was growing up, the cars where they had the radios where you push the buttons, she's pushing the button. She is just going at it. And I finally just had to say to her, look, girlfriend, I got this one. So I need a favor. Get in the back seat and not behind me, because if she gets behind me, she's going to kick the seat, right? Get in the back seat and please go manage all those other emotions and sensations for me. And she's like, okay, she said she has it. I'm going to go do this for her, you know, but I still had to keep having some dialogues with her. When I pulled up, you know, I had some things going on as well. And so I just had to bring her into the conversation, go, look, girl, I got this. I appreciate you being part of my team, but I got this. Go in the back seat and manage all the other emotions that I don't need right now. And, you know, you just have to have some fun. You know, you just have to say, hey, sister, I got this. I appreciate you. You're part of my team. Can't do this without you. Backseat girl, though. Got to get in the backseat. No co-piloting with me today.
That makes me laugh. And it reminds me of when my boys were really little, you know, how they're all over you and trying to cook dinner. And it's like, I'd be like, no, I got this. I got the hot burner. I got the hot stuff. And I had this stand that they would stand in at the counter. And I would give them these very, they were children's knives. And they were like basically dull. And here's a carrot. And go at it. And help me by cutting up this carrot, right? And of course, they don't really get very far. They don't really cut up much. But they feel like they're a part of the process, right? They feel like they're in there. They're helping mom cook, you know. And meanwhile, you get to focus on what you need to focus. So it really reminds me of that. But I love even more how you sent her to manage the emotions and manage all of the feelings and the sensations, because when you're going to a big keynote speaking event, you need to be focused in your mind. You need to be in presence and in that alignment, and you're going to be feeling all of those things. So yeah, pass those things to her. Let her kind of go through all of that. Kim, what have you experienced after you have created this relationship with your hag in the attic? How has that changed you? Has it changed her at all in her appearance or how she shows up?
Well, first of all, she's still looking really pretty with the lipstick and those glasses and those earrings. You know, she still shows up. She will still show up when I'm in a situation where I'm pushing myself out of a comfort zone. She comes. I mean, there is a door on that attic. It's never closed. And she's like our sleeping guard, but she never sleeps. So she's always ready to go. So she'll show up and she'll start chiming. My thing is, I visualize when she becomes so big and she encompasses me, then I'm in a rabbit hole. I go down that deep, dark, damp, dirty, feeling so alone rabbit hole. And I've spent too many years in that rabbit hole that now I know that when I'm starting to get close, I know she's pushing me too hard. And that's where I just simply say to myself, okay, hang on, time out. What do I need right now? Might need to be to step out of my office, which is, you know, as you see, I'm in my home office. I might need to step away from here. I might have to get outside and get some fresh air. I might have to go pet the dogs. I might just have to go wipe a kitchen counter. There's something I love wiping down kitchen counters with my lavender spray. There's something so surreal about that. But it's just changing up the scenery and then being able to come back and tackle what it is that she chimed up. And it works so much better when we change our languaging as opposed to constantly saying, I'm nervous, I'm fearful, I'm nervous, I'm fearful, especially going into a presentation or a keynote. I'm nervous. The nerves and the fear are up in the head. You are letting that hag in the attic, that inner critic, drive that bus right now. But when we come down into our bodies and say, oh my gosh, I got all these sensations going on. My chest is pounding, scared. My tummy has butterflies, excited. Then we can be scare-sighted and we're now more into those sensations and we're into our bodies. And we can manage and navigate better, especially with her partnering up with us.
Yes. That definitely made me laugh thinking about her. And I love your pause because those moments of just pausing and walking away, creating a different environment for ourselves, having some breaths, can really recenter us and can even show us what it is that we're needing, that we're not focused on, that we don't have awareness about, that is pressing a little bit more, you know, than need be. So I love the pause. And for you, Kim, how have you changed through this process of recognizing your inner critic and bringing her on your team? I mean, you mentioned, you know, yeah, we still get emotion. It's really important. I don't really resonate with the term fearless, because if you are bringing yourself outside of your comfort zone, inviting yourself to expand, inviting yourself to grow, you're going to face fears within you. And that's important. It's such an important part of the process, because those fears or that anxiety, all that is, it's just ensuring, are you sure you want to do this? So I love how you say you're going to come back to those emotions, are going to come back if you are stepping out outside of your comfort zone. Outside of, you know, learning how to manage them and feel them in your body. I really love that. How have you changed through this process of seeing her and inviting her onto your team?
Well, now that I manage her and she's not controlling me, and again, I want to say this one more time. She's still there. She still chimes up. She still gets mouthy. But now that I'm managing things, I've been able to let go of perfectionism. And I've been able to show up perfectly imperfect, unapologetically. I have taken my confidence. I have learned over the years, so many women want confidence, but they'll allow their inner critic to go into critical, and then they'll have critical down dialogues about themselves, about everything that is wrong, as opposed to having those compassionate dialogues. I've learned to be more compassionate. I've learned to let go of the taskmaster. By the way, part of that taskmaster is what took me to sleep at that major intersection. We're talking cracking the whip. I've learned all of that, and I've become so... I'm very hyper aware when that rabbit hole, I'm getting too close to that rabbit hole, because I don't want to be down there. I do not want to be down there. And I'm a big proponent on, again, we as humans, we're raised, we have good emotions and bad emotions. I call BS on that. We have all emotions. They're not good or bad. It's okay to be mad and anger. But it's what you do with it, how you're utilizing it, how you're releasing it. And that's the same thing with the inner critic. We all have one. We all have, you know, those things saying, you know, don't wear that dress because your tushy's going to look too big. That's that inner critic. Enough. If you want to wear the dress, you're comfortable and you're rocking it, go wear the dress or whatever that is. But it's learning how to identify and really manage her and giving her, actually, I see my inner critic, she's the conductor of the orchestra, and the orchestra are all those emotions, because she just knows, yep, Kim's getting ready to walk into this presentation, pull some limiting beliefs. Oh, wait a minute. Trombone is that imposter syndrome. Play it loud, you know. She just knows what instruments to play. We just sometimes have to redirect the conductor of that orchestra and say, could you go over there and pull some more confidence for me, please? Tell that flute to go, you know. That's just how I visualize her.
Yes. Wow. I love that so much. I love all the parts, and I can really feel in your space and in, you know, in you, how it has really allowed you to be more present as well. I mean, that is one of the things that you teach, but that was the imagery I was getting just then, is that when she's managing the emotions and we're managing her, now we get to be really in the moment, right? We get to be in the moment with that imperfectionness and laugh about it, or call it out, or have fun with it and have fun, right? Have fun, just like you beautifully put, with your day. Because I used to be the same way. Like, I was very shut down. And even the things that supposedly I enjoyed, I didn't really find joy in them. And it was the same thing. I was like, just want to get back to bed and go back to sleep. And now the feeling of joy, right? The feeling of pleasure, of satisfaction, of fulfillment in process, right? Not even at the goal, but like right here, right now, having some fun, we're lighting it up, right?
Yes.
That's living.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
That's
yes.
That connection that you are talking about. And it's like you said, having all these things and not really finding joy in them. I find more joy in dialogues like this than I would going to take a pottery class. Now, I'll go take a pottery class, but I find more joy in this. And I mean, it's like, I would love if you and I lived closer, because I would be saying, come on, let's go for a walk out in the woods here, not far from my house. Let's go, and we'll end up in town and go grab a cup of coffee, tea, or water, or whatever afterwards. It's the dialogues, the connections.
I wish we did live closer. I would love that so much. I have several people in my life who I call soundboards. They're very intimate beings to me, and they're not just soundboards, but we're always communicating because we learn so much through just the dialogue, as you so wonderfully put. So much is realized, is experienced, is witnessed through the dialogue. So I just love that so much. And Kim, for you, again, I believe very strongly that our voice is extremely impactful. So you have a speaking career and you're teaching women to own their voice. And so you're out there speaking a lot. And how has your own voice and this progression of the boldness of your voice, of the, hey, you know, I'm going to say this even if it's imperfect. I'm going to say this even if it, you know, rubs some feathers the wrong way. I'm going to say this because I feel strongly to say it. And all of the different journeys and steps that you've taken through this, how has that impacted you?
Well, just like what you said, I'm going to say this and it may ruffle feathers. I'm just very bold. I'm direct. I'm honest, and I show up very authentic, whether I trip over a word, you know, or whatever that case may be. But that's been the progression. Sometimes, you know, my husband will kind of nudge me a little bit, and he goes, okay, just not go small, Kim, but can you pull it back just a little bit? Maybe take a breath and I'm, nope, I'm going in. Because I was told so many times when I was younger to be seen and not heard. So I'm making up for lost time. And do I open up my mouth and create harm? Good Lord, no. No, 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 no. And if I do, I'll be the first to apologize. But I do say things it's on my mind. And I've learned that listening is also just as power-filled as speaking. And that power of that pause, to pause and grab a breath. I mean, just grab a breath. That's been my whole progression. And I say things, I'm not worried about what other people are thinking. Because first of all, I don't have a glass ball. And if I had a glass ball, you and I would be past the moon if I had a glass ball. I can't tell what other people are thinking. So I don't worry about other people's opinions anymore. I do it on my terms.
Yes, I can feel what people are thinking, and you know, and that's okay as well. I love how you say that listening is just as important as speaking. And what I have found is the more I have owned my power of voice, felt compassion towards myself, loved myself and my own voice, the more I am like all ears to other people. You know, I can not only listen, I can hear them and I can feel them, and I'm really available to not just what they're speaking out loud verbally, but what they are expressing energetically with their body, with their symbolism and their vague and obtuse ways of communicating that humans are so good at. But the power of owning our voice in that inadvertent opening of our ears, quote unquote.
Yes, it is. And I'm with you as well. I'm not going to compare and say I'm so deeply intuitive like yourself, because I'm not that deeply intuitive. I am in tune with my intuition, but working with clients, I mean, when they're speaking, I can see more, I feel more. And that's one of the challenges as a coach and working with women, is they're empowering their confidence in themselves, is I really have to make sure I'm keeping boundaries up, because I take other people's energies on, and then I get going and get to such a deep of a belief where I could be 10 steps ahead, not hierarchy patriarchal, but 10 steps ahead, trying to hurry up someone to get to that, because I can see that in them, being able to breathe and let them go on their own journey and be the cheerleader, the thought leader, the partner through all of that. But that is also, yes, that's a very big challenge as a coach. And the avenues that I go into with women is being clear that I feel I'm bringing on their energy, and learning how to desage that, so to speak, and decompress that when I come out of coaching calls.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important as women that we learn how to just let the energy through us and not take it on, not hold on to it, right? And yeah, I just love, you know, when we're talking about the pause again, because what I was getting when you were speaking was to also pause for others, right? As you were saying, you can get ahead of them. And it's kind of like pause in yourself to give them what I call spaciousness. Because earlier we were talking about walk away when you're starting to go down that rabbit hole, which is a pause for yourself. It's a creation of spaciousness for yourself. So, okay, you can come back into your body. You can come back into the moment. Like I said, you can hear anything that needs awareness to. And then I just love how you said, also pausing for your clients, if pausing for your children, pausing for your partner, right? When we pause sometimes in ourselves and create that spaciousness for others, that too is very similar to hearing, but it's on a much more very, very subtle level. And it's more like kind of holding a container for them. And that is such a powerful moment of presence, which I know that you also speak so wonderfully to.
You know, it's interesting what you just said is I need to do that same thing with my two female black labs. I've got one that is extremely intuitive and picks things up if mommy is anxious or stressed or something going on. And I have another one who is, she's resorting back to her anxious puppyhood days, and she's going to be 7 next month. So again, it's the same thing with animals as well, is being able to pause and allowing, you know, their energies to and personalities to evolve.
Yeah, I mean, almost even more for animals. Not really more, but because they can't communicate with words, those pauses are so important. And sometimes we don't acknowledge that they're thinking. And when we give them that pause, they can process what they're thinking and then take the necessary action. And they can feel us. So I love that you brought in animals. Horses specifically have been one of my greatest teachers, and yes, they absolutely taught me to pause. Pause, step away, let them process. As I was like, here's more energy, and here's more healing, and here. And they were like, oh my God, get off of me. Yeah.
Get away, get away.
Yes. Letting me breathe, you know? And they taught me to do just a little bit and then step away. And some horses, I would have to walk out because they couldn't process with me even standing there. So I would just walk away and they would process the energy, and then I would feel that I could come back in, and they were so much more available on even deeper levels. So thank you so much for bringing animals in to the conversation. I think everybody could relate to that for sure. Kim, how can people find you? How can they reach out to you?
Well, I'll step right on over to LinkedIn. It's Kim Boudreau-Smith over on LinkedIn. That's Boudreau. Or you can stop by my website, a little bit easier. Spelling is Kim, B as in boy, Smith.com. Those are the two places you can reach out.
Absolutely. And I will definitely have that in the show notes. Okay. Now is our time for our activation. Yes, yes, yes. I always love this time and I always remind the audience that if you're driving, you might refrain or just partially partake and then come back to this recording when you can. And it's important to understand that there's nothing that you have to feel during this process. Whatever you experience is absolutely perfect and dependent on your availability to subtle energies, dependent on the regulated, the level of regulation within your nervous system will really depend on how much you feel. It's not right or wrong. It's not good or bad. It just is. And so just know that everything is happening whether you feel it or not. Okay. All right. So let's close our eyes. And let's take three nice deep breaths in through our nose and out through our mouth. And I want you to hear your breath coming out of your mouth, relaxing your jaw, relaxing your TMJ, feeling that breath exit your windpipe, feeling that breath going out of your mouth. Beautiful. And dropping your awareness down to your pelvis. And we're breathing all the way down into our pelvis. And now we're breathing all the way down to our yoni. Breathing all the way down to our labia lips. Here in this space in our labia lips is any space where we have not been able to say no when we needed to say no. Here in our labia lips is where we haven't been able to powerfully express our boundaries. So just hold your awareness there and breathe, holding your awareness there and breathing, knowing that in this space you are safe, knowing that in this space you are deeply loved. My loved, you are so deeply loved right here, right now. The you that couldn't say no, the you that wasn't sure, the you that didn't hold your boundaries is loved, loved so deeply. Right here, right now. Beautiful. And you may feel your throat being activated as we do this because our yoni, our pussy is directly connected to our throat. Our G-spot is connected to our thyroid gland. So as your awareness is down there and you're feeling yourself, it's okay if you feel something in your throat. Just know it's all perfect. So just awareness there, awareness at your yoni, okay? And just breathing there. We're going to start calling in some green light, some emerald green light. And with each inhalation now, you're breathing that emerald green light all the way down into your yoni. You're breathing that emerald green light down into every single experience, every single moment that you didn't feel safe to hold your boundaries, every single experience that you didn't feel safe to express out loud, to express your voice, to speak up, calling in, breathing in that emerald green light, just knowing that it's going to these areas in your body, drawing it in, nice deep breaths, draw it in, call it in with your breath, feel it moving down into your body. With each exhalation, you are letting go, you are releasing, you are letting go of that pain, you are letting go of that trauma, you are letting go of those experiences, and you are deepening into your power, deepening into your seat, deepening into your feminine expression, breathing in, calling in that green light all the way down into your yoni, exhaling, letting go. And I'm going to call in some sound right here, right now. So just keep your awareness there. Keep breathing in really powerfully. Exhale audibly as I bring in this sound. Deep breaths, three deep breaths. We're going to flush the system. Breathing in through the nose, letting it out. Breathing in through the nose, letting it out. One more time. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. Okay. Now we're going to use our voices. All right. We're going to use our voices. We're going to acknowledge our inner critic. And I want you to say, repeat this out loud, repeating after me. I see you, inner critic. I see you. I acknowledge you, inner critic. I acknowledge you. I accept you, inner critic. I accept you. And take another nice deep breath all the way down your spine with your awareness at your spine. Breathing up and down your spine for just a couple of breaths, just knowing that it's okay, whatever you felt during that expression, knowing that you are automatically and instantly entraining your subconscious mind with your own voice. Breathing, breathing, breathing. Yes, yes, yes. Excellent. You, my love, are so powerful. Your voice is powerful to you. Your voice has impact. You are heard. You are heard. Your voice has value. You have value, my love. You have value. One more nice deep breath into the body. Yes, yes, yes. And you can open your eyes if they were closed. Yay. Kim, my love, I'm just so grateful for you coming on today. I really loved everything you brought around the inner critic. I feel like I'm going to see my inner critic completely different now. I just can't wait to give her an entire persona. And I feel like you brought so much value here today. And I really, truly am grateful for your presence.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, fellow ecstatics, thank you so much for joining me and Kim today. And be sure to share this message. I mean, let's be real. What woman out there couldn't benefit from hearing about her inner critic? And absolutely reach out to Kim, reach out to her on LinkedIn, go to her website, check her out, reach out to her, say hello. If you live in the area, maybe you guys can grab a coffee and have a dialogue, right? And otherwise, share the episode as much as possible. Be sure to subscribe, and we will see you for the next episode of The Ecstatic Woman. Much love.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Women podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.